As are your prayers, we look into the Word and begin over in Jeremiah in the 18th chapter with a very familiar illustration. The Word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, I want us to take note this morning that when the Word of the Lord comes, keep in mind it's the Word of the Lord. And it means it's not man, it's not man's opinion, it's not man's ideas. But when the Lord speaks, we need to give heed to the Word of the Lord. And so the Word of the Lord came, but keep in mind it came by man. It came by way of Jeremiah, but it was the Word of the Lord. And the Lord said, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. We have a very beautiful illustration here, and I don't see it an illustration of to cause discouragement. It was an illustration that ought to give us courage this morning. That there was, he went down, he saw the potter making something with clay on the wheel. He's turning that wheel and kept it spinning, and there he was molding and shaping a vessel. It was a vessel for use. It was a vessel that had a purpose. God had an intent for that vessel. But yet, while that vessel was being made, it marred in the hands of the potter. It was no fault of the potter himself. It wasn't that you could say the potter made a mistake, but the clay, there was an imperfection in the clay. Maybe it dried out a little bit. Maybe it needed more water. Maybe as those of you that have worked with clay a little bit, maybe there got a little stone in it. Something in the clay that caused it to mar as the potter was sitting there smoothing it. And he began to give a lesson to the prophet here. And he said that the vessel was marred, but he said the potter made it again another vessel. He didn't leave it with the imperfection, but he made another vessel because God still wanted to use the clay. He could have easily discarded it and said, I'll just get some fresh clay. But he had desire to use, it was the same clay, but it was another vessel. Do we get that this morning? It was the same clay, but it was another vessel. The Lord did not discard it, but he wanted to make something that clay could have a purpose in life. There are times in life, and I think again of the adulterous woman that was brought to Christ, that the Pharisees were there saying, does not the law of Moses say to stone her and put her to death? And remember, Jesus stooped and he wrote in the ground, but when all was said and done, he said, where are thine accusers? In other words, he had asked the Pharisees, he said, he that is without sin, do what? Cast the first stone. Are there any of us here this morning, and this is meant to be more than just a rhetorical question, but are there any of us here that have never in our life ever marred a little bit in the hands of the potter? Are there any of us that have are there any of us here that have never made mistakes? Are there any of us here that have never had some spiritual failures? I will say again, I believe in spiritual victory. I believe in living a life. The Scripture teaches, and I believe it and it works, that there is an experience with God that we can live without sin. Living without the moral violations that separate us from God while we still have human weaknesses and make human mistakes. But do you know that we have all made spiritual mistakes? We have all had times in our life, and you know that in the scheme of things, there are some that maybe have more egregious sin than others in their life. It's a reality. There are those that the Lord has been shaping and molded, and the mar that was happened caused a failure to the vessel. Maybe it caused the vessel to just collapse. But you know, the Lord is not interested in throwing the clay away. For those that have backslidden this morning, I know that God still has a plan for their life. God does not, He said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not wanting to throw away any life. Every soul is valuable to the Lord. And when we look on and say, the Lord was working in your life and you threw it away, the potter is not finished yet. The potter is not finished. He wants, where there has been a total failure of the clay, the Lord can do something and make another vessel. It won't be the same vessel that it was before, but He has a plan in mind to make that clay something useful, something of purpose, something that we can all look on and say, there's a purpose to that vessel. I'm thankful that God did not give up on me. I am thankful for the mercy of the Lord this morning. I'm thankful for His compassion. You know, there are times in life, in our humanity, we are quicker to discount and to cast off people than God is Himself. Is not that true? Sometimes our mercy has a limit. And that's when we have to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm at the end of the mercy I'm feeling here. And we start saying, Lord, is not it about time for judgment? These things are going on. Someone causing havoc with their lives and the lives of other people. Someone out committing sin and doing things that are hurting other people that are trying to do right. And we come to a place that, Lord, is not it about time for judgment? And the Lord says, I'm not finished. And so we say, Lord, help me to have more mercy. Increase my love. Give me more compassion. Because the Lord didn't give up on us. And so He created another vessel. Just because someone mars in the hands of God does not mean he's finished. So I share that with us individually and collectively today. If you find that you have marred in the hands of the Lord, God's not finished. He's not going to throw you away because He's vested. He's vested in you. He died for you. And He's, just because I mess up or because I am marred, the Lord looks on and He still sees potential. When no one else may see potential in someone's life, you know the Lord is looking beyond the surface and He sees potential. That's what the potter sees with a lump of clay. I'm not a potter. I look at some things and think, what's the value of a lump of clay? A potter looks on it and sees a vessel that something can be drunk out of. He sees something that can hold some beautiful flowers. He sees something that there's potential there. And if you have marred in the hands of God, it does not mean that all is lost. Because God still has a plan. And He has something beautiful that He wants to create in your life. And so God made another vessel. And the burden that the Lord gave me, it's really multifaceted. To the extent that sometimes the mar are what we might term mistakes. We might say it was a mistake. There's a lack of judgment. Maybe it was a pretty big failure. But it also has to do with those that have sinned. Those that were serving the Lord and backslid and sinned. Because here He was talking about Israel. Israel turned their back on God. But yet God still did not give up on them. The Old Testament is full of the Lord coming back to Israel again, talking to them and dealing with them, giving them another opportunity because God had a plan in mind. So whether it's one extreme of those that have backslidden, and you know when someone backslides and someone sins that has been a vessel in the body of Christ, it brings pain. And we're all hurt by it. Because we love, we trusted. And when someone backslides, there is a violation of that trust. But do you know that God is not finished? God still has a plan. And as God still has a plan, may the Lord help us as His people to be willing to allow God to make another vessel of clay that is marred in His hands. Because I would want people to have that compassion for me. Wouldn't you want people to have that for you? Say, well, it's too late. You messed up. You blew it. It's over. You had your chance. No, we'd say, oh, it's kind of like that love of mom and dad that goes beyond everybody else's. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's how the Lord feels this morning. And the Lord wants us to give that lump of clay room for God to make another vessel and accept the fact that maybe it's not the same vessel, but it's the same clay. And the Lord still has a plan. But if I say, no, that clay was marred in the hands, we're casting it off, and the Lord is saying, I wanted to make another vessel. But I wonder this morning if there are times that we limit God's ability among us as some of the people of God. If we limit His ability to make another vessel because we're so focused on the pain and the hurt that comes because this was a vessel and it was marred. So now it cannot be used. And the Lord's saying, I want to make a new vessel. Can we give God more room? Can we give the clay? Can we take our hands off and allow God to work like He wants to work to make another vessel with the same clay that, yes, it was marred in His hands? Maybe with pride. Maybe it was pride that caused the marring. Maybe someone was overtaken in a fault. Or maybe it was someone that just committed egregious sin. And I have over and over and talked with people that have marred in the hands of the potter. And the question is there anything I can do? You know what? God still has a plan for the clay that has marred in His hand. So that vessel might not look the same, but it's the same clay. Same clay. And it was not dependent upon the mind of the clay. See, the scripture said that He made another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. You see, it wasn't up to us to decide this vessel has marred in the hands of the potter, and we come together and make a vote and say, what do we do with this lump of clay? That's a little ridiculous, isn't it? But do you think sometimes maybe we tend to almost approach people's faults and failures and backslidings and sin that way? But it said the potter made a new vessel as it seemed good to him to make. In other words, as we trust God to work in our lives, I want to challenge us this morning as some of the people of God to allow God. And you say, how can we allow God? Give God the room to work as He sees best and as He sees fit. And so He said, can I do with you as the potter did? That's what He asked. Will you allow, cannot, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter? Will we allow God to do what the potter did, or are we going to limit God by our prejudices? Will we limit God by our unforgiveness or unwillingness to give up the hurts of the past that have been caused by other people? Or will we allow the Lord to do as it seems best to Him to do? You remember Peter? When Jesus was on trial and Peter was asked, aren't you one of the disciples? Don't you know this man? Aren't you a Galilean? Haven't you been with him? You remember what Peter did? He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord and said, in one place it said he cursed. And he said, I don't know him. He denied being one of the disciples. He did not want to be connected with Christ. And the cock crew, and then Peter remembered the words of Jesus. And I remember so well the Lord giving me a message many years ago, but when Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And I wonder what was in the look. You know, I really don't think it was a look of judgment that Jesus gave to Peter. I think it was one of sadness. I think it was one of compassion too. It's like, Peter, you let me down. You've marred in the hands of the potter. But you remember what Peter did then? He went out and he wept bitterly. He repented of what he had done. On the other side of it, Judas went out and committed suicide because he felt like there's no hope. The clay is going to be cast out. But we need to know this morning in our lives and in the lives of those that we fellowship with and those that have left God or those that are still in our midst that have had difficult times in their life, the Lord is not discarding the clay. He's wanting to make another vessel. Which means we need to learn to have the love and compassion and forgiveness regardless of what's happened and say, Lord, what we want, we don't know what's best, but we want you to work. And if you can make another vessel and put water in it and use it, or maybe it sits there and put the flowers in, then Lord, make that kind of a vessel. But Lord, you know what's best. Peter went out and he wept bitterly and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And then when Jesus rose from the dead, you remember the message, and Brother Frentzer, I still remember I brought this out a while back. And I remember you said something about it. Do you remember he came out and said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Go tell my disciples and Michael. Go tell my disciples and Brother Calvin. Go tell my disciples and Sister Ron. Go tell them that I'm risen from the dead. Why? Jesus was not isolating Peter from the disciples, but he was giving a special acknowledgement to Peter. I want him to know that there's still hope. I want Peter to know that he has another opportunity to serve me. Hope is not gone, folks. So go. God is a God of second chances. And third. And fourth. Because he's not willing that any should perish. And it's his love this morning. Part of the reason that God was able to make another vessel out of Peter was because he did go out and weep bitterly. There's a young man in Kenya that we had high hopes for. Good young man, seemed to really love the Lord, industrious, hardworking, capable, and we had hopes that he would be one that could step up in the orphanage and one of these young men, you look at young people sometimes and you have hopes for them. You know, I hope future leadership, we see the Lord working, and something happened. He got married suddenly. He got lifted up in his position, and very quickly he fell into alcoholism. Left his wife and married another. I think he's with his third woman now. He shows up at the orphanage about once a year when we're there, acting like everything's fine. He lies to, he'll say stuff, and I know he lies to us now because I know the pattern of his life. Last year he got up in the congregation. He hadn't been there for a year, and he got up and he didn't apologize for what he did. But what he told the congregation was, he said, you have to forgive me because the Bible says that you need to forgive. So you have to forgive me. It didn't set well with me. It didn't set well with any. There was no place of restoration. Because while our job is to forgive the clay that's marred, what makes another vessel is the humility and the acknowledgement that I have sinned. And as Peter went out and wept bitterly, that is what paves the way for a restored vessel. That's what makes the way. I have observed through the years those that have been overtaken in sin that the Lord was using. And I've seen it happen both ways. Those that have come back with acknowledgement that I've done wrong and I'm sorry. And I've seen those that have come in with almost that same mentality as that you need to forgive me. And they still are justifying and excusing the wrong in their past. You know, the Lord really can't. I have no confidence in a vessel that tries to work for the Lord when they have yet to look people in the eye and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Because what's happened is it's still a marred vessel. It's still a marred vessel. This not only applies in the body of Christ, it applies in families. It applies in homes. It applies on the job. When someone lies to me, I'm going to be careful about believing what they say. And when they lie again and I hear and I see that they're lying to other people and they come back and expect me to believe them, someone could say, well, Brother Michael, you need to forgive them. I can forgive, but it doesn't mean that they are restored to a position of trust because they're still lying. There's never been an acknowledgement that, Brother Michael, I lied to you. I'm sorry. There's never been an acknowledgement. Do you know the Lord has forgiveness for the whole world, but He does not restore them to a position to inherit eternal life until there is repentance? The Lord does not restore us, just like we can't restore people with a position of trust until there has been a change. But when the Lord comes in and makes another vessel, there's going to be a weeping and an acknowledgement and a sorrow. And that's what Peter did. That was the avenue to restoration. Well, when Peter came back, I wonder if he would have justified himself after the resurrection, would have he been accepted amongst the other disciples, do you think? I don't think they would have. They would have said, Peter, you denied the Lord. But Peter repented. He acknowledged his wrong. And then the Lord turned around and used Peter to be a leader, even amongst those that he had just betrayed. The Lord used him. Because he acknowledged and the Lord made another vessel. Same clay, same Peter, same personality. Yes? Same personality. Say, well, I haven't seen your personality change. Has your personality changed? No, he has perfected us in the Lord. He's perfecting our personality weaknesses. But you know what? I'm still Michael. And if you don't like Michael now, you're probably not going to like me till the day I die because I still am who I am. Although the Lord can come in and work and shape. Amen? So then we have to give one another that same room in families, in the body of Christ, for people that have made mistakes and sin and caused pain and caused hurt, that we give God room to make another vessel, but we will be big enough in the Lord to accept that the Lord made a change in their life. That they're serving the Lord now. There's been a change and we accept them as a new vessel. Same clay, but new vessel. The other disciples could have ostracized Peter, but you know, in reality, where were those other disciples when Peter failed the Lord? Where were they? I'm not sure where they were, but they were following afar off if they were even that close. And I have, and this is just, I speak this by permission, not by commandment. But I think that I have a good idea that those disciples were thinking, oh, could have been me. I'm glad no one asked me if I was part of that man. I'm glad no one asked me if I was one of the disciples. I'm going to get back just a little bit further so no one asked me. Where was their judgment? I have a feeling that probably at least there was probably someone probably had some self-righteous feelings during that time. If it's if we take, you know, how people are today. But probably most of them were thinking, you know what, it could have been me. This is the reason the scripture says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in what kind of spirit? In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, folks, we're all human, and by the grace of God, I don't want to mar any more in His hands. But if I ever do, I hope there's someone that will give God room to work in my life and make another vessel. So, you blew it. Welcome. Welcome home. Glad you're back. Let's see what God will do. You get the message this morning? This is beyond what you can do and what I can do. But it's praying that God would work and make another vessel. It's through His mercies that we're not consumed. And the scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. See, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Same clay, same personality, but what caused the mar? Or what caused the collapse? What caused the sin? Through the divine power of God, He made another vessel out of it. So then we need to, Lord, help us to recognize when God is working in someone's life who has failed. When God is working in someone's life that has caused lots of pain in your life, can we recognize that God still wants to work in their life? And there is still a place that God wants to restore and to renew, because we're taught to forgive how often? 70 times 7. And I'll tell you, when someone asks forgiveness 70 times 7 times in a day, I'm going to start questioning their motivation. After you've asked me 3 times and you keep doing it, I'm not sure you're real sincere. You want to prove you're sorry, don't do it again. That sounds pretty fleshly, doesn't it? But isn't that, Lord help us. What the Lord was saying is, your job is to forgive and let me judge, take care of their motivations. Someone said something to us just this week, to Renee, and she was telling me about it. I said, Renee, do you even believe that? Do you think that's even true? I think they're playing games with the truth. Then I had to kind of recognize that that probably wasn't the best way to approach it. You know what? It was someone that I didn't think they were unsaved, but I think I knew a little bit more of what they were saying. But you know what? That's really not, it's not my business. He's saying, you know what? Whether it is or not, maybe I was wrong in my assessment. I hope I was. But you know what? Really, I can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about what someone says. But what the Lord wants us to do is forgive. He wants us to give God room to work, which means we're going to have to die out to ourselves. We're going to have to die out to ourselves in these situations. And I want to just mention a couple other points before we close this morning. This young man in Kenya, do you know if he were to come back to the Lord? I believe the congregation in Kenya, and I know I would welcome him with open arms. Welcome home. I'm glad you're back. Regardless of all the pain and the lies and the stealing and the drunkenness and the adultery and everything else that that person is doing, I would just be glad they're back. If they came back saying, now I want to be back in a position of leadership and take over where I left off, you know, so tomorrow I'm going to be back in. I want to kind of be the second in command. Like, I'm sorry, brother. Things don't work that way. You're going to have to rebuild some trust. You're going to have to let your life prove that we can see that you're another vessel. You know, it's not wrong to require that. That's why the scripture says, know them that labor among you, to know that they're a new vessel, to know that God is working. But do you know, if we said, okay, there's nothing you can do, you can sit and you can be quiet and not say anything, we'll recognize you're saved, but you can't ever do anything for God anymore, do you think we would be hindering God making another vessel? Because God still wants to use this young man. He hasn't come home yet. I pray one day he will. But you know, God wants to make another vessel out of him, which means as a people, we're going to have to put some things of the past behind us in other people's lives to move on to let God work and use people like he wants to. That we not limit God. You remember when Barnabas and Paul had a little problem with John Mark? They were on a missionary journey, and you can study it out, but John Mark was a young man, and he left them when they were on their journey. He left them. He forsook them, in the words of Paul. And Barnabas was his uncle. And Barnabas, you know, family relations, family's the one that says, hey, give someone time. Don't cut them off. Give them another opportunity. Lord, help us. The family of God ought to have that desire for each other. Lord, don't cut them off. Give them another opportunity. And so then they were going to go on the missionary journey, and Paul, in essence, was, I don't want him to come with us because he left us. And it said the contention was so sharp between Paul and Barnabas, they went separate ways. You know, two different areas heard about the gospel then. The Lord even worked in that, didn't he? We'll go our separate ways. The contention or the disagreement. Now, maybe that was Paul's fault. Maybe he was being too hard on this young man. Or maybe John Mark had been unfaithful in his devotion to the ministry, and Paul was saying, we don't need another liability on this missionary trip. I counted on him and he let us down. Folks, that happens sometimes. They let us down. But through time, there was somewhere that trust was regained. I don't know what all happened, but later on we see Paul asking for John Mark to come and help him because he would be helpful to him in his ministry. Have John Mark come. In other words, something changed from when Paul said, I don't want him, to the time he said, oh, would you give him a call? I need his help. So there is a time of trust building. There is a time of regaining. But folks, for some people that can't forgive or let go of the past, the time will never come where they will accept that God can use this vessel again. And part of the lesson for us is, first of all, if we have marred in his hands, know that we need to have time to regain trust. And it takes time and it takes effort. But the other side of that is, folks, when God makes another vessel, may we be big enough in the Lord to recognize that God still has a place. And I don't want to have the mentality is that they can sit and be quiet till the day they die, but they hurt my family, or they hurt me, or they hurt this one, or they did this, and I'm never going to trust them again. I'm never going to give them another opportunity and carry that kind of mentality till the day we die. We have a responsibility for people to prove themselves. There is a time in a marriage relationship where there have been difficulties, there is a time of regaining trust. There is a time of trust building. But do you know a husband or wife that says no more? It's going to be no more until there's a forgiveness and saying, Lord, I want you to work. In other words, are you willing to accept a change in your companion's life? You know, maybe, you know what? Marriage hasn't had some adjustments or needed some adjustments. Are we willing to give room in a marriage to say that, you know what, my companion is really working on changing? They're really looking to the Lord to help them to make some changes in areas that have been a difficulty. Do we not want our companion to accept in our life areas that we've grown in? Or they say, I'm sorry, you messed up. This is the love that Lord wants us to have in our homes, in our families, in the body of Christ, to give each other room, even when the clay has marred, for the Lord to make another vessel. That means, Lord, help us to open up our hearts, to have a divine love that God would work in our lives. I'm so thankful that when the clay marred in his hands, that he took the same clay and he made another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. Amen.